Good morning, friends. Welcome to today's video post. Today, we're going to recap the loving kindness practice that we've been journeying through these last two or maybe 3 weeks it's been. And in thinking about talking about recapping it or an overview, the question kind of came in my mind is, Why do this practice? You know, we have our mindfulness practice, we have our Vipassana practice. Why do we need to do this practice, or why do it at all? So I think that's a worthy question. The Buddha said that what the mind frequently thinks and ponders about becomes the inclination of the mind. I think that's a pretty verbatim quote. So the more we do something and attend to something in our mind, the more the mind starts to naturally incline towards that. So that's one piece. And of course, you know, the more we practice loving kindness, the more the mind will incline towards that. Yeah. The other thing is that it is said, I don't know this in my own experience, but it is said, and it certainly makes sense, that the fully enlightened mind is naturally and spontaneously compassionate. It responds to the world just very spontaneously and naturally, and it responds with compassion. But that's what it does. And so when we are cultivating, and just by the way, compassion is simply loving kindness directed towards or meeting the suffering in the world. So that quality of heart that is loving kindness, when it turns towards and or meets the difficulty and the suffering in the world, that experience is compassion. So when we're cultivating loving kindness, and when to whatever degree this is present in the mind, we are actually practicing in enlightened activity. We are being enlightened activity in that moment. And so that is a really important reason to practice loving kindness. We're actually behaving, the mind and heart is behaving the way a heart and mind of an enlightened being would. It's really important to remember, or at least to know, where do we find this practice in the path? Like, where does it land? There's no, you know, gee, where in the Eightfold Path is loving kindness? I don't see it anywhere, right? In any of the path factors, I don't see, okay, this is loving kindness. Not exactly, but where you do find it is in the second path factor of wise intention, or sometimes translated as wise thought, that this path factor is the intention for renunciation and also the intention for non-harm and non-ill will. So there's where you find this practice. And it's important, I think, not to know it just for scholarly sake where you find it, but it speaks to how to practice and or how to approach the practice of loving kindness. We're cultivating an intention for non-harm and non-ill will. And as with all intentions, whether they come to fruition or not is going to be dependent on many other circumstances and conditions that may or may not be in our control. So we form the intention to cultivate loving kindness, to for that mind state to arise. And then we see, because we can't just snap our fingers and say, okay, I want loving kindness now, right? We form the intention. We engage in the practice, which are conditions that are definitely favorable for loving kindness to arise. And then we let go. Or hopefully we let go, because whatever happens, we're not in full control of. And because we're in the terrain of the heart, if we practice loving kindness long enough, or you could just say, if we stay with the heart long enough, we're going to traverse all the seasons of the heart. There will be loving kindness. There will be care. There will be the opposite. There'll be ill will. There will be also numbness, not feeling either one way or another, and everything in between. And so even though the intention and the conditions that we cultivate, i.e. the practice of loving kindness, even though, you know, hopefully those are going to point towards that in any given moment, it's going to be what it's going to be. So just really important to remember that because of how we're going to visit all the places of the heart, if we don't have this clear in our mind, it's very easy to start judging ourselves. Geez, I'm sitting here practicing loving kindness and my heart feels like a cold stone. There must be something wrong with me. I must be doing the practice wrong. You know, that whole rabbit hole that we can start to go down. When in truth, it's just, no. If we show up and engage in the practice of loving kindness, we are fulfilling this intention to try and cultivate it. And in that way, it's complete. It actually doesn't matter, you know, what happens during that practice period. So that's a really important one that I wanted to revisit. I've offered some different ways to connect with the heart, and if there's time, we'll review them. You know, starting with the somatic approach, literally just feeling the heart, feeling it, like wherever you feel it is. Put a hand there, talked about breathing in and out of it, place just letting the attention rest there and feeling that part of the body. So somatic approach. And then sometimes before we can offer loving kindness, we need to have an experience or know what it's like to receive it, you know, like kind of this sense of the analogy, like you have to fill the vessel before that vessel can then pour out to others. And so we did a technique where we thought of a person, brought them to mind who, you know, expressed a lot of care for us, kindness, perhaps through their actions and words that they showed us, that they really saw us, they saw our good qualities, and they were reflecting those back to us. You know, someone like that in our life, we practiced with that person and receiving the sense of kindness and caring towards them. So the sense of filling up. And that could be one person, maybe if we're lucky, there's multiple people we've had in our lives where we get that kind of reflection and sense of caring from. And then starting to offer loving kindness, picking first the very easiest being, right? Because with the loving kindness practice, we start where it's easiest. And again, that sense of filling up and then flowing over out into the next category. So we started with the easy being. Could be a human being, could be an animal, the kitten, the puppy, the dog, the cat, the neighbor's kitten, the neighbor's puppy, etc. Could be a human being, maybe a young person in our lives, you know, the grandchild or whatever, or a friend's, you know, grandchild or some young person that we have contact with. They tend to be quite easy, right, to feel kindness towards. Could be, you know, an adult friend, relative. When we pick a person to work with in any of our loving kindness categories, we want to pick a person who is not so complicated, that we don't have too much of a complicated relationship with. So usually we don't pick like a life partner or someone who we're having a very close, intimate relationship with. Those tend to be just by nature. There's nothing wrong with it, but they tend to be a bit more complicated. So we would pick this very easy being, and then we worked with them around offering loving kindness to them. And then I actually skipped a category just because of time, like the good friend category. And we went straight to the neutral person, which is interesting because we really don't know this person. We know of them, like we've met them or, you know, someone at work or clerk at a store. So we don't know them very well, and yet we're going to offer loving kindness to them. Why? We don't really know their good qualities. Or why? Because they're walking this life just like we are. They have the same kind of, not in details, but in general, the same, you know, desires for happiness, same moving away or fear of suffering and pain. And so, oh, they're a sibling on this path. Ah, we can wish them kindness just because of that. Just because I know I would want to be happy. And so, gee, if they're so similar to me, and it means they want to be happy too. Okay, ah, let me support that in them. Let me wish them happiness and kindness and care. And then the difficult being, again, starting with the easiest difficult being, maybe someone where there's a little bit of annoyance, maybe finding some good qualities about this being. Yeah, that's true. They act this way, which annoys me and it grates with me. But over here in this arena, they're quite nice. Look at what they do over there. Okay, let me wish them well. And then the last, you could say, category is all beings. Just sending it out to all beings. And the analogy, the sun shining down on everything, not picking and choosing, and the sense of the loving kindness flowing outwards to all beings without picking and choosing. There's a couple ways to practice with all beings. One is like physically with directions. So, you know, above, below, outwards to the four directions, you know. So basically, you know, you're the center and it's extending outwards in the four directions above and below. And so there's a practice that one can do with that. Sometimes you could say spatial practice, I use my breath and I start always starting where it's easiest. So loving kindness here, then an out breath just expands a little bit. Then an in-breath, maybe even contracts a little bit on the in-breath. If you've ever been to the beach, the way the ocean slightly pulls back, the way a wave breaks, and then the wave breaks and spreads outwards. So this out-breath, in-breath, out-breath farther, in-breath, out-breath, and just going outward, outward, outward in all directions with the out-breath. And that's helpful. Especially if you connected with a somatic approach, that can be a good way to practice with the all directions, using the breath. That out breath kind of gently pushes the loving kindness out. And then another way to practice with all beings is categories. There's kind of classical ones, you know. There's binary ones, men and women, which may be problematic. But there's also categories like relatives, beings that, you know, are in a state of happiness, beings that are in a state of suffering. And you can also make up your own categories. People I know, people I don't know, relatives, et cetera. People I work with, people I've known in my childhood. You know, you can make up your own categories, and in that way, you can encompass all beings. So that's kind of the overview, and wanted to explain this last category of all beings and a couple ways to practice with that. So we have a few minutes. Let's sit together, letting the eyes gently come to close, and calling forth this intention to cultivate loving kindness. Bringing your attention to the heart, if that works for you, the somatic approach. Feeling that place in the body. And sitting quietly. We talked about even just here sitting quietly, even before, quote, practicing loving kindness, that it's actually a kind thing to do for oneself, to give oneself the time, the space to rest, to allow the body and the mind to settle. That itself is like an act of kindness towards oneself, of loving kindness. Maybe, you know, we can feel into that even as we sit here. And just this form of gentle self-care. Maybe you bring to being to mind that the easy being you've been practicing with, holding them in your mind, connecting with any loving kindness that might be present right now as you bring them to mind. You know, does that stimulate this mind state to arise? And then if you had the time, I encourage you to practice this on your own. If you connect with it, you could go through the different categories all the way through, if you wanted, to all beings. But for now, just taking a moment or two, sitting here, whatever position you're in, connecting with the heart just as it is, whether loving kindness is present or absent, connecting with the heart just as it is. May our practice of loving kindness benefit our own hearts and minds and the hearts and minds of living beings everywhere. We have the this the formal aspect of the loving kindness practice, and then, you know, informally in our daily life. Talked about, you know, the just practicing loving kindness perhaps when you're out and about and you see someone and the thought comes and the inclination is there, you just wish them happiness, just in your own mind. May you be happy. May you be well today. Loving kindness other times during our daily life. I talked about the sense of maybe just moving a little bit more slowly through our lives and feeling the kind of softness and tenderness that can come and the care for whatever we do. I reach down to pick this up. And there can be a sense of caring with that. Just, you know, instead of grabbing something quick, just slowly, you know, just grabbing. It doesn't have to be real slow. And one can feel the sense of care towards whatever we touch and do. It can manifest through the body in this a little bit slower, just a little bit slower, a little bit softer movement. So we can engender the loving kindness that way. Going to sleep is a great time to do it as you're falling asleep, or, you know, for those of us who wake up in the middle of the night, 3 a.m, we can't get back to sleep. Instead of struggling and trying to, you know, worrying about getting back to sleep, great time to do the loving kindness practice. So there's ways that we can bring this into our daily life as well. Okay, friends, that's it for now. Certainly, you know, we could practice a year with this loving kindness. Just wanted to offer a little taste. And just circling all the way back, why now? Well, because of this great divide that we're experiencing in our society and the othering and the us and them and how much ill will can arise from that. So bring the loving kindness to bear on this situation to mitigate that ill will. Okay, I will see you. When will I see you? Next Tuesday, and we'll start on a different theme. Okay. Till then, I wish you well in all ways. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.